Welcome, dear listener, to the Eldritch Hour. We are a horror-themed tabletop roleplay podcast containing violent and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Episode of The Star on the Shore. Sterling studied the rock formation and surrounding geography of the star's landing site on the bay. Before leaving the site, he pocketed a small shard of the glassy stone. Meanwhile, Charlotte, having escaped the uncomfortable encounter with the police chief, continued up the road to the woods and the old witch house. Nearing the quarry on her way, she observed a monstrous form stalking through the mist. But before she could make out any substantial detail, it vanished as quickly as it had appeared. Thatch searched the inside of the train depot with Colonel Hall, finding records of arrivals in recent days, which conflicted with the newspaper article recounting the recent closure of the train line to Rockport. After a brief sweep, the men uncovered a tunnel entrance and descended into the blackness. Amos, a few hours ahead on our timeline than the others, made his way to the cemetery to meet with Lump before descending down the mausoleum tunnel entrance himself, alone, in the dark.
Charlotte, you are standing at the edge of the tree line. Unless, of course, you're barreling into the tree line in your fragile state. I'm not really sure. But nonetheless, you are headed into this deep, overgrown forest.
You know how, like, how moms walk at the mall? Just really fast? That's what Char's got going on right now.
Char's doing perfect. All right. Very good.
Like, if she was wearing tennis shoes, they would be bright-ass white tennis shoes.
That is a fantastic point to bring up. What kind of shoes is Charlotte wearing?
She wears low kitten heels. Because those are of the fashion of the time. Girl, is it making any sense? I don't know what you want from me.
No, that's perfectly fine. It's you're just traipsing into this muddy, brush-ridden forest floor. As you get maybe about 10 feet in the tree line, can you give me a dexterity roll to maintain balance on your
Absolutely. Deal? Oh, extreme success,
what
baby.
What is happening with you tonight?
I can't fucking keep my sanity. I can't keep my sanity for shit, but I can walk through the woods. It's
very good. You somehow maintain balance, dodging branches strewn about the forest floor, some small animal holes and roots creeping up around you. Are you just headed in a direction?
Yeah. That's all she was given. It's just
right.
If you follow, go past the quarry and just keep going, you'll eventually either find the house Old Man Douglas lives in or a booby trap. So that's where we're going.
Okay. I think by this point, maybe now that you've gotten, let's say, you've walked for a good, maybe, let's call it 20 minutes. And while that may seem like a while, even though you are kind of like distracted for that amount of time, you are still trying to go through an overgrown forest in heel. So it's taking you quite a bit to even get a little bit of ways. But by about this point, the paranoia is starting to wear off.
Yeah.
Your wits are coming back to you.
Just in time.
You are realizing, yes, that you are now, like, really, as this kind of, like, this haze in your brain is kind of starting to lift, you are coming to grips with where you've taken yourself, and you are standing now in these empty, fog-ridden woods alone. And you hear the sound of maybe wings in the distance. Something scampers across the forest floor. And other than that, just an eerie silence has taken hold of your surroundings.
Ashar fully sits down on the ground and cries. Just like that real heavy, like heavy cry.
Can you give me a listen roll? But because of the fact that you are in fact crying and you're taking this moment for yourself, it's going to need to be a hard success or better for you to hear it.
All right. Come on, baby. Nope. Didn't hear shit.
Yeah, the sobs continue, and you're not really sure how much time has passed. But then something does snap you out of your quiet moment as you realize a branch has snapped on the forest floor, literal feet away from you, behind you.
It, like, that like, feeling of when, like, you sober up immediately. She just sits up straight and just like, looks where the branch... Yeah. Like,
turn around.
Like, fully stopped crying. Like, it's completely stopped.
Yeah. You turn around, and you don't see anything at first. And then as you kind of, like, wait and focus your gaze a bit, can you give me a spot hidden?
Come on, baby.
What is happening?
I don't know how to have normal successes. It is either I fail miserably or I can see everything.
How can you see through these pain tears?
Yeah. That's unreal.
I don't
for
know
the listeners at home,
why.
She got a 2 out of 46.
I have true sight. I can see everything. Yeah.
What, I don't know, third or fourth extreme or hard success tonight?
Yeah.
So, you remain motionless and start to focus your gaze, and then your eyes meet another pair of eyes in the bushes ahead. Human eyes.
Oh. It makes it
staring
worse.
At you, but they don't move. Whoever is there is not moving. They're just watching you.
Shard is immediately, who is there?
Oh,
just take a like oi prick from Sterling.
Yeah. A head pops up. Long, greasy hair. Very disheveled look. Gristly, like salt and pepper beard. Not like full grown, more just stubble around the face. The face very weathered by time and probably living alone in wilderness. And a man steps out of the bushes, kind of like half hunched, arms like together, fingers constantly moving in and out of each other, just writhing with each other. And he says, I'm sorry. And his like hands are very just wild in gesture as he talks. And I didn't mean to startle you.
Who are you?
Alan Douglas. Douglas.
You're Old Man Douglas.
Old. They think I'm old. It's the lines of time. Not so old, Alan.
How old are you?
Oh, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Who are you? And his eyes kind of widen.
Charlotte's scared, but she's like, she's not like, obviously like, her panic is like, and paranoia is fading, but she is scared. Mm-hmm. But she just says, I'm Char.
Char. Hmm. Abbreviated for Charlotte. Yes, Charlotte. Very pretty name for a very pretty girl. He's not making any motions to, like, get closer to you. He's very much keeping his distance.
What are you doing out here?
Oh, hunting. Hmm. Hunting.
Hunting.
Dinner.
No. Absolutely not.
Licks lips.
I think Char now like is like has gotten up to her feet now.
Sure.
And I think she's doing that slow, casual thing where she starts backing away but tries to make it look like she's not backing away.
Yeah, sure. Do you look hungry? Are you hungry?
I haven't eaten all day.
That's true at this point, yeah.
Yeah,
you
at this
are
point, I haven't eaten
feeling
all
day.
It. No.
Suit yourself. And he kind of like shrugs and then like goes back into the bush. You're not sure if he's like, you know, begun to ignore your presence anymore or not, but he is like digging around and then he pulls out, he says, and he jumps up, like literally leaps up out of the bush and holds up a rabbit and still like caught in a trap. And he says, oh, good. And he just slings it on his shoulder and does this.
All right, that was very cute. But, like, I'm so freaked out. I feel like Char wouldn't want to waste the opportunity. So, like, I think she goes to grab the picture of the statuette in her bag.
Sure. Okay.
To show him. Because although she is slightly freaked out, this is the whole reason she came here. So
yeah. He just kinda like looks at you and he's like just swaying back and forth, watching you and your motions. And you get the picture out.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could help me with something.
I love to help. And he smiles big.
Good. I'm here in town looking for something. And I was wondering if you've seen it.
So many people looking for so many things today. And like his fingers kind of go a little wild and then he calms down a bit and he says on the paper
yeah,
on the paper
yeah.
And he reaches out and You notice, like, when he reaches for the paper, he turns his head away and grabs it, and then once he has it, he turns back and looks at the paper. And he stares it up and down, and then he just goes, tee-hee-hee! And he says, such fortune, such fortune. Two people looking for the same thing in the same day. And just like lets the paper like flutter around and does like a short little spirally dance in his spot.
Someone else has come looking for this statue.
In instant lightning speed, he closes the gap and grabs you by the shoulders and like face this far away and says, you're with the boy? Yes, the boy.
Oh, no. Char cannot speak.
I was going to say, it sounds to me at this moment you could make me a sanity roll.
Come on. No!
Only a matter of time.
First of all, you're going to lose 1d3 of sanity here.
Oh, good.
So you want to give me that roll.
1d. Cool, let me just remove 3 from my sanity here. Don't worry about it, but don't worry about me. I'm just making some changes to my stuff. Don't worry about it.
Because of this failure on your sanity check, you have an involuntary action, and that's going to be that you are just frozen.
Yep.
You drop your bag on the forest floor and are just staring eye to eye with this man. And as you watch his eyes, his pupils dilate and dilate and dilate until his eyes are completely black.
Good.
And he says, and his voice has changed and his grip has become firm. Not harsh, but firm.
Yeah.
And he says,
the boy tried to take the reverend from me, but he failed.
What? Who? What reverend?
You, in your time, may try to betray me as well, but all in your time, you will all succumb and become my servants.
And then he lets go, and his eyes go back to normal, and his demeanor completely changes back to what it was before, and he almost looks confused.
What the fuck?
Huh? Oh, what? And he kind of looks around, he's like, dinner? And he pulls up the rabbit.
No dinner. No dinner. What? Are you okay? He's just immediately compartmentalizing.
And we're gonna cut over to Thatch. Detective Thatcher, you are following Colonel Hall into the darkness, and he brandishes a lighter when he gets to the bottom. But that is the only light source that is provided for the two of you, unless you are
the same. I have a lighter too, right? Or do I have matches?
You should, yes. You had it before. On your last entrance into these tunnels.
Sure. I didn't know if I lost it.
Yeah.
I'll pull up my lighter too.
You get to the bottom of the ladder and step down, not into water. like the first time you entered this tunnel system, but onto dry cobble floor. And as you kind of turn and survey your surroundings, there are cobwebs everywhere, lining the walls and upper ceiling in just thick patterns. You find yourself in maybe about a 20 foot or so diameter circular room, just like the other one. But again, no water on the floor, which makes it very easy to see as you look down that there is some kind of symbol carved into the floor, into the stones. And it is a large circle with a small cross coming off the bottom. And on the top of the circle, opposite the cross, is a half moon shape, perfectly pointed like upwards, like horns almost. If you want to give me an intelligence or astronomy roll, you could tell me what that is.
Okay. 51 on 55 intelligence.
Okay. Yeah, this, you recognize this as the astrological sign for Mercury.
Colonel Hall, do you know what meaning this symbol has?
He kind of looks around, kind of like moves his lighter around the floor and says,
doesn't look particularly important to me. Just some kind of, maybe it's Satan worship or some nonsense. There are some weirdos in this town.
With the cross being at this end, and I'm going to cross the floor, and it looks like a half moon up here. This seems to be the symbol of Mercury.
Didn't take you for a stargazer.
I rode with a guy.
Well, perhaps not Satan worship then.
And he just walks on down the singular 10-foot tunnel entrance, 10-foot wide tunnel entrance ahead of you, brushing the cobwebs aside.
I'm going to keep a lookout for spiders, but I'll follow him.
All right. The tunnel goes on for some ways, and
as they do.
Yes, and you don't hear any noise in the darkness ahead of you. It just the echo of your footsteps on the stone floor. It is about as unremarkable as the tunnel you had previously gone in. There's no sort of drawings or anything on the walls. Just very carefully laid brick, making a perfect archway all the way down. And eventually, after some time,
I'm going to ask Colonel Hall.
Oh, go ahead.
What are you hoping or expecting to find down here, sir?
Well, I just discovered the tunnels one day, or one tunnel, I should say, after I followed some, what I thought to be some ne'er-do-wells in the back of the old sloop, the Congregational Church, across the street from the cafe. I saw them out one night after I came out for a smoke while playing cards, and thought I'd investigate. And turns out there's a tunnel up here. And so I started mapping them the best I could by counting paces under the ground and then above ground to find the various entrances. So far, that's been my goal.
Physically, how does he appear right now? Is he out of breath? Is he tired? Breathing heavy? Or is he spry and limber?
He seems maybe a little, yeah. No, he is, for one thing, he is in his, you can tell he's got to be at least in his 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So his brow is pretty sweaty, and he's a little out of breath as he says this. Not terrible.
Sure.
He still looks very fit as a man. Mostly the only reason he even walks a little slow is most likely his leg injury from the war.
Sure.
That he uses the cane for, but otherwise looks, you know, well enough.
So what's your plan, sir, once you find these hooligans?
Well, I suppose figure that out when I get there.
You are a colonel in the military, sir. That's never really...
It's hard to create a plan around something you've never encountered before now, isn't it? I don't know what they're up to. I want to find out what they're up to. The only thing I know about them is that they're mapping, or that they're using tunnels under my city. I'd like to find out at least where all these tunnels lead. Next steps will be taken after there's more information. You gotta gather intelligence, son.
Roger that, sir.
You walk a few more feet and get, and as you do, your feet start to splash.
Oh God!
As you descend just a very slight hill, in the tunnel, and it starts to go down just a little ways, and you're in maybe 2 to 3 inches of water tops, and then the archway opens up into a large circular chamber. And as you look around it, you recognize it to be...
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank God.
The entrance that you were in before, underneath the mausoleum.
I breathe a huge sigh of relief.
Just as I suspected.
And he kind of looks around and he's like,
well, there's another one we can add to the list. Done and done.
And then he turns and... puts a hand on your shoulder and he says,
now look. I said before there's weirdos in this town, and I followed some what I thought to be just ruckus teenagers at the time in the church. They are one and the same. They weren't teenagers. I believe there's a cult in this town.
Sir, I've been here for 3 days. I have uncovered just as much as you. Sir, you know your police force is most likely in on this, as well as the people who run your mail. The wolf girl there is a part of this. Like, this goes deep.
Alright. I don't think we understand each other. I know that many of my townsfolk are part of this group. I'm not concerned so much with what it is that they're doing. I just know that they are not like the other normal churchgoers in town. They meet at odd times. They worship something that is not our Christian God. I'm simply trying to find out why they need to use a tunnel system to do whatever it is that they're doing for their sermons. Now, I've found no evidence of, shall we say, evil activity in my time here, but I do know that they prefer some measure of discretion, and as such, I want to figure out what that is.
I know the butcher guy was hauled off by the cultists, right? Joey and Charlotte, you guys
yes.
told me? Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
What was the butcher's name again?
Harry Windsor.
Sir, the butcher, Harry Windsor, he was abducted last night by these cultists. Nefarious deeds are indeed afoot.
Then, we need to get to the bottom of it. Why would they kill? I knew.
He's like, it's almost comical. Like, he's like, he steps back and he's kind of like puts his hands on his hips and he's like, I knew there was something else going on with all these disappearances. But I've never had proof. You saw them take him?
My colleagues did. I gestured to my face. I was involved. I looked towards the tunnel. Elsewhere.
Yes, you were, you neglected to talk about your injury, at cards last night.
I'll peel the bandage down and show him the three gashes.
He sees your face, and his eyes just kind of, like, become saucers, and he says,
what on earth did that to you? That's... What, you didn't fall or something. Something did that. Did you get attacked by an animal?
Yes, sir. You seem pretty, well intent on heading down here. I point off to the side to the tunnel that I went down. Yesterday.
Down that way?
In case you want to go down there tomorrow or today, at least somewhere towards the shore, we can hear the waves crashing above, and there's a creature. And about damn near took my head off. So.
A creature. Like some kind of, what? That looks like a tiger or something.
Two legs, standing 7-9 feet tall. It was dark. See-through, transparent almost. Claws, absolutely right. And I grabbed my companion. I attacked it. It seemed impervious to whatever damage I could do to it, and it assaulted me. About knocked me out. My companion was able to flash a camera, which seemed to spook it off. That's until then. I woke up, and for whatever reason, I must have done something. And my friend was still there and was able to drag me out.
Yeah, well, he's like, again, he says,
I don't know about bipedal, transparent skinned fish people or whatever you're talking about, but.
Just gonna shrug.
I guess I would leave you alone if I thought you were dead, and if it was spooked, all the more so, but. Seem to be a lucky man. Maybe I won't go down there. At least not unarmed. You think it lives down here?
It at least travels. It took us a long way. We were walking for a good minute, sir. We barely got lucky running through here. I couldn't hear anything on our way through, but it seems like they come from the water. I've heard other reports and people who claim to have seen some stuff say that they come from the water. So, no.
Who's been saying that you've seen these things besides you?
A couple of your locals here, sir. Well, one in particular. Yeah, Christine's father. She claims was perhaps attacked by one. She might be useful in attacking or in confronting one of these things.
I was under the impression that Miss Smith's father died in a shark attack. But if your face is any evidence to the contrary, then I have to say I'm a bit skeptical now.
There's some strangeness afoot on there. The man wouldn't go near the water, and yet, shark attack. It doesn't make any sense, so we're still trying to work that piece out, but I think we can rule out sharks, seeing the first-hand exposure I've had to these creatures.
I think you might be right. Shall we explore this one? And he kind of gestures off to the right.
Well, sir, like I said, I got my guy coming in today with weaponry. I have another piece back at where I'm staying. Maybe it's the better idea to equip ourselves before we go down these other tunnels.
you have a solid strategy there. All right, then. Well, it is getting late.
And he checks his watch.
Should get home for dinner. Would you care to join me?
Oh, absolutely. What are we having, sir?
Oh, very good. We'll find out what the missus is cooking.
And he starts ascending the ladder up to the mausoleum.
Sure, I'm gonna follow.
All right, I'm gonna cut over to Amos.
Two ships in the night.
Well, so at about this hour where Thatch has ascended the ladder with Colonel Hall, it is maybe pushing 4-ish, which is right in line with Charlotte and Sterling. Amos, as you projected earlier, it is maybe about 7 or a little after at this point.
Yep. So they are the ones who left the lid off of the tunnel, right? The mausoleum.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. Yes, as a player, that's, yeah. All right. You have descended, and you're going down the tunnel you were in prior. Yes. So you make your way down for quite a ways. And again, it...
I don't want to go like all the way. I want to get to about where we were, if I could calculate that somehow.
Sure, sure.
I want to just like feel around with my foot in the water to try to find the gun.
Sure. Yeah, then you move, you know, at a regular pace for a ways, and then start to slow, I imagine, and start to check after a little while to make sure that you haven't missed the spot yet. And
Is the water like it coming in and out, or is it like a steady stream? Is it just stagnant?
It seems pretty stagnant. It doesn't really feel like it's rushing in or even like really flowing in a direction, because as you stepped into it both the last time and this time, in the first chamber, it's not moving. Like, you were the one to make it ripple, and like it's very much stagnant. So you make your way and you start to kind of comb the floor with your foot and look down with the lantern.
Can I see through the water at all?
If you get down low enough with the lantern, yes.
Because again, it's water. It's not like
yeah, it's
anything.
Correct, and it's only about 3 or so inches deep.
I thought it got for a ways where we were at.
Yes, I was just about to correct myself for a ways, and then it does start to get deeper, and it gets to about waist height. So, yeah. But yes, even so, it is still mostly clear here.
Okay.
You can at least see almost to the floor. So. But can you give me a... Let's go with a spot hidden. To see if you can pick it out of the water. Looking for it at first.
That's a success. 49 out of 67.
All right. You, so you're looking around and you see something shine on the floor through the water. And you reach down to pick it up. And it is, in fact... Thatch's revolver.
Sweet. I will... I guess I'll put it in my waistband. And,
okay.
And just continue going forward towards the... We saw light at this point, or the first time we were here, right?
Yes, but you realized afterwards that it was not light coming from an exit to the tunnel. It was the light from the lantern fish style appendage on the front of the creature.
Okay.
So, yeah, so currently now it is still pitch black ahead of you all the way down the tunnel from this point. You do hear waves, though, ahead. Yeah.
Well, I got what I came for. I think I'll keep going forward, though.
Okay. All right. You push forward, and the water starts to get up a little higher. Not quite to your camera, but almost. Just above waist. Yeah.
Keep it.
Yeah. Once you realize it's starting to rise a bit, hoist it up. And then the tunnel starts to ascend instead of descend. And you realize you're going uphill a little bit. And you can just barely make out like the thundering of waves again. And you continue to make your way. No other sounds throughout the tunnel but yourself. And you eventually come to a small, a chamber not really like the others where you entered. Well, the other, I guess you've only been in the one. Just really it comes out into what seems to be mostly like a cave entrance. There is a ladder still, leading up to a door, a metal door this time, not stone. It looks heavy and made of maybe iron with large rivets and a big, thick ring for a handle above you. And you can hear now very clearly the crashing of heavy waves around you outside the door.
I'm gonna just kind of focus on the walls, see if there's anything on the walls at all.
Sure. You hold the lantern up and kind of survey around, and there doesn't seem to be maybe any sort of like writing or pictures, but there is very clearly scratch marks in the walls on both sides. And the room you're in, or the cave entrance you're in, is sizable enough to fit maybe 3 to 4 people or so. It's not it's not huge, but it's not small. It's not tight. There is water, yes, but it is a little bit lower. It's maybe like mid shin at this point.
I'll go up to the ladder, climb up to the door, and I won't open it, but I'll just kind of like put my ear up to it and see if I can hear anything.
Sure.
Particular like movement or speaking.
Can you give me a listen roll? But to hear anything besides waves, just the loud thundering waves, you'll need a hard success.
Okay. That's a regular success. 57 out of 60.
Yeah, you listen for a little while. And some of the water from the waves is actually like leaking in, you notice, through the seams in the door. But that's all you hear is large waves, and it very much sounds like water is splashing onto this doorway, not that the door itself might be underwater. It is very much out in the open, and it sounds like the waves are hitting rock around the area, and then water is splashing onto the door.
So just to be clear, this door is horizontal.
It is more like a large square, and it's like diagonal in front of you. You've kind of had to ascend like a small
like a
ladder,
cellar.
But it's yeah, like basically door, kind of like a cellar door. Yep.
Got it. I will very carefully see if it's at least unlocked. Like, I don't want to like just throw the doors open or anything. I'll just kind of
sure
it up a little bit.
Okay. It's heavy, but it is not locked. You push on it, and you get a very short burst through just the little seam of wind and seawater. Like sea spray come through. And it's cold.
Well, assuming that I have made it outside, I will open the door completely.
You throw it open. It takes you a minute. given its weight, but it's not beyond your capabilities to open up, and you'll see the ocean out in front of you as far as the eye can see. Waves crashing onto this very small rocky island around you, and you're hit with sea spray.
I'm on an island?
You're on a very small island, yes.
Oh, shit. Okay. Once the door's open, I'll look around. If there's nobody in the immediate area, I'll get out.
Yeah, you step out, and you're on maybe only like a 10, 15 foot wide or so little spit of rock. That can't be true. It's got to be bigger than that, given the size of the room underneath. So we'll say, I don't know, we'll say it's like maybe 50-ish feet or so. So the depiction on this map is much bigger than it actually, than it really is. But it's not very big. And you look around, and behind you is mostly fog, but you can see a small bit of land poking out, maybe to what you could suspect might be north based on your directions that you took from the cemetery and knowing which direction you went before. The mist out here is much, much thinner. So you can see the horizon and the ocean through the haze ahead of you. Behind you, several hundred yards in, the mist becomes very thick and you're not sure if there's land, but given the fact that you know that there's mist in Rockport this thick, perhaps you could hazard a guess that Rockport lays behind you.
Can I see the lighthouse? Either.
You can see a beam of light pass over you from the distance, from an island off to your right-hand side, yes. And you can see,
yes,
just a bit of yeah.
Okay. And that's pretty far away.
Oh, yes. Yes. In Rockport proper, even without the mist, you would not be able to see that island. So,
there's no other, nothing else around me that I can make out.
No, you're pretty much out in an open bay. Yeah, there's just water everywhere. I'm going to cut over to Sterling. You've been left alone near this inlet, and you walked back up to the road. Where are you headed now?
You said it was 4 o'clock at that point?
Yeah, it feels like it's about 4-ish, yeah. Well, I guess if you have a stop or a pocket watch, yeah, you would be able to tell.
Yeah. I'm going to head to the cafe for a bite to eat.
Okay. Very good.
Does anything stop me on my way there, or do I make it there?
You're passing by the street for the cemetery, and just out of the path as you're passing by steps Colonel Scott Hall, and right behind him, Detective Samuel Thatcher.
Mr. Thatcher, there you are. Where did you get off to? Are you feeling better?
Oh, it's you.
Yeah.
Colonel Hall, this is one of my companions I was telling you about, how I know about the astronomy symbol. This is Mr. Sterling Barnum. Sterling, it's Colonel Hall.
I think I recognize your face from the other morning. Didn't get properly introduced. He extends a hand.
Yes, apologies. I'm called Sterling. It's nice to meet you, Mr. Hall, was it?
Yes. Scott Hall. Scott Colonel. Hall. And it's always a pleasure to meet a man of science.
Ah, are you a man of science as well?
No, not by any means. A man of strategy, but yes.
Great, very good. What have you you all been up to in the last couple of hours?
Your partner here has been regaling me with some wild tales about the goings on in my town.
I gestured to my cut up face.
Yes, he had a bit of an encounter apparently, and came out alive, which is miraculous.
So I've heard.
Speaking of alive, Sterling, where's Charlotte?
I couldn't find her. Well, to be honest, I didn't exactly look for her, but...
Can't blame you.
All right. Not you two. Apparently you're still not clear-headed at this moment, so, I was actually headed up to the cafe myself, so if you'd like to join me, I guess I'll offer you a place at my table. But
we're
not. That's cool.
The colonel actually invited me to dinner at his place. If you would like to join us, Sterling.
Yes, well, by all means.
Well, as lovely an offer as that is, Mr. Hall, I'll have to decline. I'm going to head to the cafe, though. It was nice to meet you, sir.
Oh. That's very fine. Likewise. I hope to speak with you again soon, I suppose.
Sir, absolutely. Give me a moment with Mr. Barnum here.
Of course. And he pulls out a pipe and lights it up and walks down to the corner.
Sterling, have you
to wait?
Found anything out? What's going on?
Well, I had an encounter with the Reverend again, and he showed me where the meteorite fell.
You found the stone?
Well, there's just a crater there, but but yeah, it was a very strange place.
Strange how?
Well, strange in a lot of ways, but I suppose mainly geographically. I'll pull out the shard of the disc that I procured, and I'll hand it to Thatch.
Is it jagged in any way, or is it like?
It's probably rough, I imagine.
It's rough, but it is. If you've ever seen like a like an obsidian Native American arrowhead,
yeah,
that's kind of what you're looking at, except much larger and obviously not an arrow shape. But that very glassy,
I'm tracking.
But like cut, jagged surface, in a large oval shape, but also flat. Yeah, maybe 7 or so inches wide.
I'm going to test the edge for, like, sharpness with the edge of my finger.
It cuts like a knife through butter.
Holy shit.
I'll be careful Sterling. With that, Thatch. It's very sharp. Yes, the entire surrounding area was made out of this. But it was stranger than that. It wasn't... It didn't appear natural. It was, looked like, you know, pardon the phrase, it looked like it was frozen in time, which obviously is a crazy thing to say, but it had the appearance of the objects being in motion and having stopped, is the best I can describe it.
Well, you're right, it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't mean I don't believe you, considering dreams and fish monsters and ghost trains and whatnot. So I'm gonna hand him back the shard.
And I'll put it back in my pocket. Yeah, it's apparently where they're going to be meeting tonight, actually.
Now, is this the Reverend you suspect to be the leader of the cult, or a different Reverend?
It's the one we spoke to earlier about our dreams and stuff. He said that I would know when the meeting would begin, and has of course invited me to join. So that's what I'll be doing tonight. I'm gonna pull the map out and I'm gonna gesture to the area where the meteor site is, so that you know.
Okay. While you have the map out, so we came out of the tunnels here at the mausoleum. I'm gonna point it out. We entered at the train station here. So I'm gonna like draw a line with my finger, because it was pretty much a straight shot, wasn't it, Josh? Or at least felt that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so.
So tracing my finger on the map, tunnel here, tunnel in the direction that the first one that I went on, you know, wherever I think is appropriate on the map. And then there was a third one this way that the colonel seems very intent to explore. Although, to be honest, his doesn't seem like he's going about it the most intelligent way. We had nothing to defend ourselves going down in there. And he was ready to go on down the third one after I told him my encounter, so he's
Did he believe you?
He didn't seem to not believe me, but I mean, at the same time, who can blame him, hearing my story?
I suppose the scars are evidence enough that you at least got attacked by something, right?
Obviously, yeah, I got attacked by something, but I don't know how well he believed a 8-foot-tall fish monster. So,
I suppose you weren't carrying the photographs that Amos took to prove your story either, so...
No, wasn't. Speaking of Amos, catch up with him at all?
No, I haven't seen anyone apart from you and the Reverend.
Well, he wasn't in the tunnels, or at least my tunnel. That much I can confirm.
Are there more tunnels than the ones that you guys have talked about?
There's at least one more that, remember, branches off some other way. And then,
right. So yeah. There's only the three then?
That I've seen so far.
Okay.
The colonel seems to think there's a lot.
Oh. Is that why he was down there with you?
Or more. Were you with us when he was counting his steps? Or was that just Amos?
I passed by it. I saw him counting on the road.
I don't know if he was tracking up above ground the third tunnel, but that's what he was doing when he was counting steps. He says he's memorized or has seen cultists going and being up to stuff, and he started trying to track them above ground, and now today was when he went below ground.
I see. Well, we did encounter him on the other side of town, so I don't know if the tunnel goes that far away from the cemetery, but it could be that there are more.
The one me and Amos went down took a while, so I would absolutely believe that it crosses the entire path of town. The two that I've been to have not branched off. They've been straight shots to a single chamber. So it's possible there are more, but two of the three entry points that I've seen have been dead straight, some curves here and there, but nothing branching off. So take that for what they are. But
you mentioned that you learned something from me, astrologer. What have I taught you?
Oh.
We've hardly had any time together, Sash.
You mentioned it in the car whenever you were going over the planets and stuff and whatever ancient symbols. It was a lot of dead time and you were just rambling on about
planets.
At the base of the ladder underneath the train station, there was a large, it spanned the entire room, the base of this chamber, the symbol of Mercury. With the circle and then the cross and then the inverted crescent at the top, or
Right.
Seems similar.
It's at the railway station. Okay. That's very strange.
Does that sign have any kind of significance to you?
I mean, outside of it being like an ancient representation of the planet, not a whole lot, no. Were there any symbols below the mausoleum or, you know, in the other chamber that you guys described?
Was that the star, Josh? Again, this was 2.5 months ago.
It was an infinity symbol.
Right.
With a upside down, yeah, like a line and an arrow and stuff coming off of it.
Infinity symbol.
Do I recognize that as a planetary symbol?
It is not. You would not recognize it as a planetary symbol, no.
Okay. Well, that's
not... If anyone wanted to give me an occult roll between the two of you.
I guess I can do that, just trying to figure it out.
You specifically said occult, not mythos, right?
Correct.
Am I able to make just a general intelligence? Because I don't know anything about, like, I specifically don't know anything about the occult. So,
yeah, I don't fucking know you.
Would I be able to glean, like, non-occult meaning from it?
No.
This is like a memory check, so there's no assist.
I'll just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I fail as well.
Okay.
Close. We were both close.
That's true.
Yeah, neither of you. Yeah.
Considerably.
You were close together.
You know, we were close to one another. We
considering the target.
Know, yeah, we were both equally didn't know Jack.
Thirties on fives for listeners.
I can't say that I know what that symbol is. It's definitely not related to the planets in any way.
Maybe next time you're with your reverend, you can doodle a bit, try to catch his attention and feign ignorance.
That's not a bad idea. I have already left him a little doodle of my own at the meteorite site, so we'll see.
What'd you do?
How about? I left the star pattern in the crater. Just to further embolden that relationship a little bit.
I've been remiss, and if you wanted to give me Sterling was specifically because of your background, I think. I don't know how much Thatch would delve into pseudosciences at all.
Zero.
Okay, then absolutely Sterling specifically, if you want to give me a cryptography or an intelligence check, your choice.
I'll take an intelligence check.
I only give you the option because you can actually advance cryptography where you can't advance an attribute like intelligence, so I didn't know if that mattered to you about the success.
Is this about the symbol specifically?
Yes. I've been remiss. I'm backing up a little bit to give you an extra chance at something here.
Sure, yeah. I don't think I would use cryptography based on that then. So okay. Yeah, I'll do intelligence.
Okay.
Hard success.
It comes to mind as you're talking about this that the symbol that Thatch just described to you, an infinity symbol upside down with an arrow and a cross line on it, isn't 100% an accurate representation, but is very close to the Leviathan cross, which is the symbol for sulfur.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep that just to myself, that it's not actually the symbol, it's just close, because that doesn't seem super pertinent to like interrupt the conversation about.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
But yeah, so okay. I just gesture to the site. I mentioned that we're having a meeting sometime tonight, and that I'll just intuitively know when that is, and that's what I'm doing.
At the mention of meeting, I'm like, oh, right. The kid at the place, the deaf kid, 7 o'clock Nash, 7 o'clock at this address.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it out loud around your friend, but that's why I'm going to the cafe, going there to wait till 7.
All right.
Because it is just right off of School Street, so I would be nearby, and I figure... I didn't know what you were, where you were going, if you were headed back to the Woods House or what. Didn't want to take any chances on missing that meeting.
Josh, just recalling Nash's interactions with the rest of us, he seemed fairly equally friendly with everybody. Like, if he just meets Sterling by himself, he's not going to be like, well, where's, you know, Charlotte or whatever.
Yeah, no, he seemed fine because he and Sterling exchanged writing on the pad back and forth, and that was when Sterling was like, oh, thanks for the directions. And
just from my mental check, I want to make sure it's okay if
people
are late or not present or something.
Yeah, if you get held up or something, sure.
Yeah. Right. So, all right, Sterling, I'm going to see if I can't get the colonel and see if he has any extra people he can spare with our other things. He seems to want to get involved in investigating this cult. So I want to kind of pursue that relationship a bit. And when I get free, I'm going to come meet you down here at this cafe. Where is it at? Is it within eyeshot distance? I'm looking. Like, where are you meeting him?
It's not. It's up the road here on Main. You can't miss it. It's right next to the Rockport Art Association. I'll point to it on the map, but...
Long as I know the location from it, yeah. Alright, yeah.
Just keep me in the loop with whatever you find, and that's where I'll be.
As soon as I'm done with the colonel, I'm gonna come to this spot, and if you're not here... Where else would you be? Because a lot of times it seems like this has happened to us in the last couple of days.
Well, if it's 7 o'clock or leading up to it, I'll be at the address that Nash gave us. But other than that, I just assume that I have met an unexpected fate. I don't know. I can't really put. I don't. Maybe, you know, there's people snatching people in this town, and they know my face.
Well, you mentioned something about the Reverend. Like, does he plan to? Are you meeting him tonight, or?
I think they're having an entire congregation of some kind at the crater. So it's
and that's on the shore.
People.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll check here. I'll check the address. And if you're not at either one of those, I'll check the shore for you. You stay safe out there.
Be careful. Don't try not to let your position be known, because I don't think that they're expecting you to attend as much as they're expecting me.
Good to know. I'll keep my cover.
I'm gonna reach into my bag. Oh man, this pains me to do as like as Sterling. But I'm gonna reach into my bag and I'm gonna hand you my spyglass so that you can watch from afar.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All right.
Wow.
Stay hidden and keep an eye on me. Make sure I don't get sacrificed or something.
I'll make sure that doesn't happen.
Don't let this thing get damaged, all right? It's very, very special.
I'm going to put it on the inside pocket of my trench coat.
Okay.
I'll be all right, Sterling.
I'll see you later, right?
All right, watch your back.
You as well.
I'm going to give him a pat on the shoulder. I'm going to rejoin the colonel.
As you do that, I'm going to give you a pat on your bad shoulder, not knowing it's bad.
Sterling.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you run into another creature, or is that a wound I was unaware of?
No, I ran into a door.
A door? You really have to be more careful. Please don't break my spyglass. That's...
No more
scuffles, okay?
Just my own bones, apparently.
All right.
It's the only thing I'm breaking.
Then I'm gonna head up the road to the cafe.
Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Josh Richter, and if you would like to make contact, you can find me on Twitter at The Eldritch Hour, or you can email the show at theeldritchhour@gmail.com. And if you'd like to support the show, we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/TheEldritchHour.